Now, after that, included in the program, we don't abandon our students. We have a monthly teleconference for those particular students only to ask any questions that they might have. They have full access for a period of time to free consultation. When they're working with clients, they may run into a situation they need to confer. They have a membership website that is only available to the professional students.
Right.
And the purpose is to grow the field because we need a whole lot more numerologists.
Okay. It sounds like it's come fairly kind of a, I guess you could say it's already developed as a business. I mean, you've already got a specific certification. Is there an association or something that that you become certified of, or what's the certification?
The certification is strictly LifePath certification. There is no licensing body for numerology.
Okay.
Hey, numerologists can't even agree on what to call the various core numbers.
Okay.
And there are very few of us to begin with, and so we're really doing some pioneering work here. Perhaps later on down the road there will be some state certification, but it's not available now. And we would hope to be in the vanguard of establishing what the criteria would be. But for now, the certification is dependent on the quality of the certified students.
Right.
And one thing that does when you're working with a business is to let that business know that you do have some qualifications. They feel much more comfortable with a numerologist who has had a certification, even if they don't know what LifePath certification might mean.
Yep.
And the more students that we have who are out in practice, the wider known it's going to become and the more acceptable it's going to become.
Exactly. How many people are out there right now that are full-time numerologists?
You know, the truth is, Terry, I don't have the slightest idea because numerologists don't hang together very much.
Okay.
For some reason, most people who even profess to be numerologists, that's not their primary business. They're doing something else, and on the side they do numerology, or they throw a little numerology into whatever they're doing. So I don't really have any idea. I know that there's no other program like we offer. There is a school up in Canada that is basically a yoga school. And they do what they call yoga numerology. And they do certify in that field. But it takes quite a different tact from what we do. As far as I know, there is no other place you can become a professionally certified numerologist. So we do offer that unique approach.
So you just kind of touched on something there. Is there a lot of different types of numerology?
There are different types of numerology. It's different ways of looking at the data. Like I mentioned earlier, we do the Pythagorean method.
Uh-huh.
There's also a Chaldean method, and there's an Eastern method, and there's a number of different approaches to numerology.
Uh-huh.
Now, also, we have to be somewhat aware of the culture to which we're dealing, because, for example, you might go to someone from Israel. We can get a pretty accurate reading from their Americanized name or the Anglicized name. However, the Hebrew alphabet only has 22 numbers or 22 letters. So we would need to do some modification of our calculations in different alphabets. Now, a very close friend spends most of his time in Thailand.
Uh-huh.
And in Thailand, I forget the year, I think it's something like year 5000 and something. And, of course, that's quite different from our calendar, so we would have to adjust to that calendar for a native of Thailand.
All right.
Some interesting things, too, when you're dealing with the alphabet, it does reflect the culture. And as the culture changes, you find different emphases coming about. For example, in the United States, almost 90% of the people in this country have a seven karmic lesson. Now, what that means is that they have a bit of a challenge when it comes to spiritual matters. Even though the United States is often considered a religious country, that lack of sevens seems to indicate that it's not a deep cultural thing. Now, as a result, we're finding that now people are becoming more spiritually oriented, and we're seeing more sevens in the name. Now, when I say more sevens, I'm looking at the letters, and the letters that reduce to a seven are like the P, the G, and the Y, and those letters are becoming more common.
Okay.
Now, we have 26 letters in the alphabet, and it goes from one in a cycle of numbers from 1 through 9, so we have A through I, which is the first 9. Then we go to J, which starts 1 again, and through R, which is 9. Then we go to the end of the alphabet, which is Z, and there is, that's an 8 number. There is no third 9. So that means that we're lacking in 9 energy. Now, 9 energy is that more social energy, that idealistic energy, that reaching out to other people type of energy. And as we're coming into this a two-numbered millennium, we're going to find that we need that extra 9, so I would not be surprised if down the road in the not-too-far-distant future we need to add another letter to our alphabet.
Is that right?
We need that extra 9, yes.
What about, just kind of thinking what you're saying there, if I was in the process of having a child now, and I decided that I want that child to have... to help increase the nines, for example, and I name my child specifically around a numerology field, would that affect the child, or is it the birth date that affects them more?
That definitely would affect the child, Terry, but I don't recommend that approach. And I tell you why. It goes back to my own belief system. My belief is that when a child comes into this life plane, that child has chosen the family to which it will come. And in addition to that, the name of that child is a code of what that child's life will be like. And that child coming in knows what that code should be and will give the parents that name. And I don't care how you arrive at the name, that child will get the name it needs. For example, I have a friend who his mother was convinced she was going to name the child Andrew. When he was born, she took one look at him and said, "That's not an Andrew."
Really?
Timothy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the energies of Timothy as opposed to Andrew are quite diverse.
Well, I guess
intuitively you will pick it up.
I think actually my mother had a similar experience then, because she wanted the name Terry, but she absolutely hated the name Terrence. So my actual name, my birth name, is not Terrence. It is actually Terry.
Sure.
So maybe that's the same type of experience.
No doubt it is. Yes.
Something else, Anne. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's why I don't work with people in choosing a name in advance of the birth. I will work with a person if they have a choice of names and they want to know the different effect before they make their choice, I will do that. But I'm so convinced that the child will get the name that it needs. Then I'll tell the parents after the fact what the effect of that name is going to be on that child.
That's incredible.
Now, we have the same situation in a business name.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes we'll work with a lot of different names. Usually I like for the person to give me a list of names because they're picking those things up intuitively, something they're comfortable with.
Right, okay. Yeah.
If I chose the name, they may never come to a comfortable level with it.
Okay.
So from that standpoint, choosing a name or even changing a name can be quite traumatic at times. For example, when a woman gets married,
uh-huh,
and she takes on her husband's name,
yeah,
sometimes that creates a lot of problems. If the married name has conflicting energies with that woman's birth name,
uh-huh,
there's going to be a very strong adjustment period.
Wow.
And that's why you might find people who have been together for years and get along so well, and they get married and do nothing to fight.
So yeah, it actually affects the entire relationship.
Sure, it can, yes.
Wow. Something, I was just going through your website, Dan, and I found something called Daily Numeroscopes.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Okay, I write every day based upon the personal energies, what kind of day you're going to have. Now, each person is in one of nine different cycles. So I write nine numeroscopes every day, and I send them out to 36 different accounts because I'm sending them to four different time blocks.
Right.
And, for example, the people in Australia and New Zealand need them a day earlier than the people in New York.
Right, yeah.
So as a result, I will write those nine numeroscopes, and it will be fitting to everyone within that cycle. And the cycles are determined by taking the month and the day of birth and adding that to the numbers of the current year. So, for example, my birthday being May the 30th, it would be a 5 plus a 3 plus a 0 plus the 2004 would be a 6. So I am currently in a 5 personal year.
And what does that mean?
Somebody in a 6 personal year, would not get along as well with me because we're in conflicting energies. That would mean that we're always out of sync.
Okay.
The same things are not happening. So when you find people who are in the same personal year,
uh-huh,
you're going to find that the same kinds of things are happening to you at the same time. Now, that's not to say that when you are looking for a mate that you ought to find somebody necessarily in the same cycle. That might be a good idea. It might work well. But I have found that some of the most solid marriages have conflicting energies.
So
provided both parties know that they've got to work at it.
So opposites attract.
In that case, it keeps it from being boring.
All right. Yeah, that's true.
As long as they don't take everything personally.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you're in a 5 life cycle. What does that mean?
Well, we go through the cycles from the day of our birth. We go, now, I started in a 4-year, 4 personal year when I was born. And then I went through to the 9 personal year and then started over at a 1 personal year. And it follows 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then starts over again. And throughout life, we go through these cycles of years. And so if you look back 9 years ago, this being 2004, if you look back to 95, you're having a similar type year as you did in 95. Now, that doesn't mean the same thing is necessarily going to happen to you, but the the effect of the energies is the same. But it's not a circle, it's a spiral. So now that you've had a cycle of experience, you're going to look at more complex challenges. You're going to deal with things from a higher level.
So you deal with the same type of thing, but from the level of being able to make your judgments on the experience when it happened before.
Exactly, yes.
Excellent. So, but now you're in a five. What if you're in a five and I'm in a six? Is there any point in our lives where I would get along with you?
Oh, we can get along as long as we both understand that we may have different ideas about what should be done and when it should be done.
Okay.
For example, if I'm in a 5 year, December for me is an 8 month. That means that it's a high-level money month with a lot of opportunities opening up to me. And today being the 10th, that means it's a 9-day. And this is a day to wrap up some of the things I've been doing, getting some conclusion to those tasks. Now, if you're in a 6 year, you're going to be in a 9 personal month. So I'm looking at things in an 8 personal month in a 5 year from a very practical standpoint. If you're in a 6 year with a 9 month, you're looking at everything from the view of your emotions or through the prism of your emotions. So as a result, those emotional decisions and the practical decisions may be at odds.
Okay.
But if we both know that and we both understand that, then we can find some accommodation of each other.
Okay, yeah. I have to be honest, this sounds extremely complicated. Is it something that I could use a computer program to figure it out, or is it something that you have to do manually?
I do have a computer program available to run the chart, but as far as reading the chart and to understand, it has to be done manually. There are programs available, and you'll find them all over the internet, that will run a chart for you and run a reading for you.
Okay.
But they are very limited. They don't deal with all of the nuances, and they don't deal with the modifiers in the numbers.
Okay, so that's the type of thing you teach in your class, then, is it?
Yes, very definitely.
So what if I was going to try and put together a numerology business today? How would I go about that? I guess the first thing would be take a class from you?
The first thing would be to take my class, yes.
Okay.
It's possible to do it by self-study, but what happens too often is you go to the books and you find that none of the books agree. And quite frankly, I don't agree with even the textbooks that we use in the class entirely. But they are the closest to what I feel is accurate and correct. But we teach stuff, I say stuff, that's not very good English, is it? We teach material in the class that you won't find in any books. Things that we've developed through our own feedback and through our own, I think even some of it has been channeled to us.
Right. But this, now I can take notes, it's not like Pythagoras.
That is absolutely right. In fact, I encourage note-taking. And like I tell my students, because there is all of this difference, when you're in my class, we're going to do it my way. Once you're out of the class, once you've completed the class and you have a good grasp of the basics, then you can do it whatever way you want.
Okay.
And that works very well. I have people, some of my better students, who absolutely disagree with me in some things. And I encourage that.
So how did they end up coming to that kind of realization that they disagree with what you've actually experienced yourself?
Some of them have been knowledgeable through their own work. Some have been taught. I've had a number of students who have come to me after they've been in classes taught by other numerologists.
Right.
I've had people who have studied the books. The thing that's the problem with studying the books is most students tell me, Well, I started to try the books, and I got so confused I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like something that would be much better a classroom activity as opposed to something you try and do with a book. It seems fairly complicated.
The truth is that you can get a very good working knowledge very quickly, but if you're going to go into the full nuance of it that you would need to do to be a professional numerologist, it does take some study, yes.
So is it possible to, yourself, you've opened up your own numerology center and whatnot. Would it be possible for someone like myself to take the course and actually start making a living as a numerologist?
If you take the professional training course, we work with you until you do become a successful numerologist making a good living at it.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I can't guarantee that everybody who takes the course is going to make a living at it. Because some people may take the class and never do another thing with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not responsible for that.
No, exactly. That's true. Well, how do you go about promoting a business? Is this? I can't imagine how you would advertise or promote a numerology business to other businesses.
Yeah. One of the challenges is that those businesses that do use numerology are very reluctant to allow us to use their business in our promotion.
Yeah.
And that is a very definite drawback. That's a limitation. We do a number of different approaches to build the business. A good part of it is word of mouth, quite frankly. But we do such things as, say, free business seminars where we will open it up for a couple hours to business people to attend to get some feel for it, some idea of it. I do a lot of public speaking, meeting with like the Kiwanis groups and various other networking groups that help to spread the word.
Right, okay.
I do a lot of writing, and sometimes that helps. I'm also a co-author in the upcoming Wake Up book that is going to be pushed on the 15th of this month for, we're trying to be number one on the Barnes & Noble website.
Ah, good for you.
So if that happens, I'll be a number one bestseller.
Beautiful.
And that gets me a lot of doors open.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually...
Press releases, publicity, various other aspects, yes.
Definitely. No, that's super. So you're actually, in addition to promoting your business, you're also really promoting the numerology profession.
Absolutely. We need to expand that. We need people aware of it. And to do that, I have also done a lot of radio and television. I had my own show for quite a while out of Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
And I also was a weekly guest on Colors of Love out of Boston. Did that for a number of weeks. Actually, probably about a year.
Super. And, is that a TV radio show? Or?
That's a radio show.
Excellent.
They have now expanded into a nationwide syndicate, and I dropped it when they did that because they would not allow me on every week.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, well, I have better opportunities then.
Sure.
I have been written up in an article in the New York Times, in the Boston Globe. So I did a radio show, which was an interesting experience, which covered all of South America, Cuba, South Florida, Spain.
Wow.
It was Spanish-speaking, and I worked with a translator. I'd never done that before.
Wow.
But as the more these types of things happen, the more opportunities there are, and the more people that are working in the field and are expanding the knowledge of numerology, the better it is for all of us.
Exactly.
So I would help all my students to get this kind of publicity and to get in front of the public so that the field can become better known.
Fantastic.
It's too great a field not to... Or for it to stay hidden like it is.
Exactly, yeah. I think there's a lot out there that people just really don't know about.
Absolutely.
Well, Dan, just before we wrap up our discussion, is there anything else that you'd like to add that I haven't thought to ask you?
Well, Terry, if I went there, I probably would talk the rest of the night, because once I could go on numerology, I could talk forever on it.
Oh, it is fascinating.
But
yeah.
I think maybe we should leave it at this point, and people who are interested in more, they can always give me a call. I have an 800 number, which is 800-442-2589.
Okay.
They can look at my website, which is www.lifepathnum.com. That's LifePathnum